Emotions, we all have them, right? Well, most of us do. Some people are emotionless, aren't they? What? There's always a trekkie in every crowd, right? As I did last week, I want to deal with a negative emotion and its positive counterpart. So this week we're going to talk about happiness and sadness, right? So let's just do a brief review. We have the underlying thing in our heart, our value system. Out of a value system flows our desires, and out of our desires come our emotions. That's right. So our emotions then, remember, our emotions only tell us if we're getting our desire or our value system. That's all they are. It's not saying, oh, I had a good emotion, therefore my value system must be right. I must be desiring good things. It doesn't work that way at all. Let me talk first of all by looking at the word sadness. Sadness, we've all experienced it, right? We all experience sadness regularly. There seems to be levels or stages of sadness that we can also experience. Sometimes we punish ourselves by sadness, that we're having sadness, and so what we called in our family a five-star pity party, you know, when you're sad and you want to stay there and endure it as long as possible because feeling bad makes us feel good. Or we feel bad because we think we deserve it, so we refuse to be comforted. There's that kind of thing sometimes people do with sadness. There's melancholy, that melancholic feeling that you get. When I look at that word, or I think of that word, I don't think of it so much in the dictionary definition, but I think of melancholy as a description of a feeling of sadness in terms of not having a reason for it. You know, you just feel melancholic, even though you don't have a good reason for it. So sometimes that's how I think of the word, being sad for no reason. Of course, there's always a reason. You just might not be aware of it. You might not consciously be aware of the reason of what it is. Or there's maybe a physical cause for it. I've talked about that before. When I get really, really tired, I just get melancholic. I get feeling sad. And all I need to do is sleep, and then I feel better. There's nothing else going on, but my body is telling me I need to go to sleep. So, sadness. What are some of the other levels? Disappointment. I guess that's a kind of the lowest level of sadness. Oh, I'm just kind of disappointed with something happening. Or it didn't go. You have an expectation of yourself or of another person or some situation, and it didn't go the way you wanted it to. You expected something to happen or to be, and it was not. That's the kind of the first stage, disappointment. Cain and Abel go out to offer their sacrifices to God. Cain's is rejected, and he's disappointed. Well, he doesn't stay disappointed. He gets a lot more than just disappointed. But he begins by having that disappointed feeling, right? His face fell. You know, I guess all the smile muscles go up, and so when you stop smiling, they go down. His face fell. It says there, he was disappointed. Then he became angry later on. But disappointment, then, I think you need to see it as primary or more primary emotion than anger. Anger is something that will come after the disappointment. The disappointment's the first thing. After disappointment, another stronger version of sadness, grief. We feel grief over something. Grief has to do with loss, you know, that you've lost something. At this stage, we experience emotions strong enough that memories and dates, that is, anniversaries or important recurring events, become painful. That's the thing that comes with grief. Many examples of this in the Bible, especially when someone dies. You know, you have the tearing of robes that occur in the Bible throughout the Old Testament. Even David's daughter Tamar, her loss when she's violated by Amnon. These are the kind of things too. You know, grief, loss, something has happened. After that, despair. I think that's the next stage of sadness, despair. It's when we begin to tell ourselves things will never be good again. The experience of sadness has become so overwhelming, or in terms of this one, so constant over a period of time that the person begins to forget life without it. There's the loss of hope. I'll never be happy again. My happiness is lost. When people lose hope, then they become very susceptible to temptation. Things don't matter anymore, and they start to do reckless things. Ultimately, it ends in depression, if not resolved, just like all the negative emotions. They just wear at us and wear at us and wear at us until we become depressed by them. We can also be sad for other people. That's what kind of like empathy, you know, you feel sad for somebody else, what they're going through. It's feeling the emotion of other people. But what I want you to understand about empathy is that when you feel that emotion of the person, you're feeling it through your own value system. You're feeling the emotion that you would assume they should be feeling based upon your own value system and desires, not necessarily their own. That's why a person could be in a situation that we think is sad, but they themselves might not think is sad. Because we're using our value system, we're producing an emotion based on their situation, how we would feel in it. But it's because they have a different value system than us. Either prior to whatever happened to them, or because of what has happened to them, they've changed because of it, they're no longer sad, but we look at the situation and see it as sad. They've changed because of it. Their value system has been transformed. So let's look at a couple more examples. Jonah. Was Jonah disappointed when God said, I want you to go to Nineveh? Oh man, he was disappointed, right? He was even more disappointed later on when they repented. He sat down, oh, I should just die now. You know, this is the kind of reaction we have to things, don't we? We have that reaction to God with God's events in our lives. We have Jesus feeling sad. He weeps several times in the New Testament. At the death of Lazarus, we see him weeping there. We see him weeping over Jerusalem. He's sad because it won't repent. We see him weeping in the garden prior to his crucifixion. So Jesus experienced sadness, this emotion, strongly. In Psalm 42 and 43, a psalm that really goes together there, we have the psalmist asking, why so downcast, O my soul? I mean, like, why am I feeling like this? And, you know, of course, the psalm is about God feeling that he's not nearby, he's not protecting him, not taking care of him. It's this rejection of God, God's absence, and his need of deliverance. So sometimes it's our experience with God that leads us sad or disappointed. All these kind of things. So, have you ever felt sad? Yes. We all feel it regularly. Now, let's look again at the three kinds of temptation Jesus faced. By now, this should be so clear in your mind, so permanently embedded in your thinking, right? These temptations Jesus, I've talked about it so many times. And I want you to think about it. The question is, when I experience sadness, remember, sadness is the emotion on the top that flows out of my desires, of some disappointment. I didn't get my desires, but my desires come from my value system. What is it, when I'm feeling sad, you have to ask yourself, what is it that I am desiring? That's what you've got to understand. The emotion is not the important thing. The emotion is to turn you to thinking about what's going on within you. What am I desiring and not getting that leaves me sad and disappointed? Because that's the question. Let's look at these three areas of Jesus' temptation, the temptation that he faced. What was the first one? Temptation regarding... Jesus is out in the wilderness. Maybe you don't know the story. Jesus is out in the wilderness, right? And he's fasting. He's out there 40 days. Satan comes to him, tempts him, and he says, oh, it looks like you're hungry. You know, how would you like to turn these stones into bread? If you're the Son of God, do that. And so we know the temptation is regarding... bodily appetites. Bodily appetites. You know, whatever format of bodily appetite we have, that's what one kind of temptation comes in. So we can have sadness in not having our bodily appetites fulfilled in some way, shape, or form. Not getting what we want. Sometimes the sadness is actually the flip side of that. Sometimes the sadness is because, well, I'm in withdrawal over the chemicals, then, you know, like chocolate or sugar or something like that. Sometimes sadness can be induced by indulging in chemicals. Some people have alcohol and they get very sad. Whatever it is, the things you put into your body can affect you that way as well. But I want to think more of the desires that we have that we don't have fulfilled that have to do with our bodily appetites. That's one area. What's the second area? Jesus goes, is taken to the top of the temple. If you're the Son of God, throw yourself down. You'll be caught up by the angels. This area of temptation has to do with? The desires that flow around what other people think of them. The desire to be loved or adored or to be thought whatever, you know, something positive by other people. And so we have sadness when we don't think we've been treated the way we would like to be treated. We haven't been treated according to our value system of how we think we should be treated. My status is not what I want. I've been mistreated or snubbed or hurt by somebody else. That's another area that sadness is produced within us by. The third area, Jesus showed all the kingdoms of the earth, right? And if you bow down to me, Satan says, you can have them all. The third area of temptation is? Yeah, our desire to be powerful, our desire to be in control, our desire to have our own kingdom, really. And so sadness is produced in this area where I am not achieving certain goals that I've set for myself. Goals that may or may not be realistic. I may feel powerless in a situation that I don't like, whether it's a relationship or a job or something else. So sadness is produced in us. And it's according to these three lines of what our value system is tied to, our desires are tied to. So, we all have those problems. Whenever you feel sad, it's because your desires aren't being filled, and your desires are flowing in your bodily appetites, something to do with other people and relationships and how they're viewing you, or your desire to be in control, have your own kingdom, whatever, something along those lines. These are the things, and if you don't get your desires, you begin to feel sad. And after that, other things too. But initially, disappointment and sadness. So, what's the cure for this? Really, it depends on what issue in your value system is different from God's. I mean, that's really what it's going to boil down to. And you need to discover where in your value system and your desires there is a problem, if any. Remember, Jesus was sad, but did he have God's value system? Yeah. All right. So just being sad doesn't mean that you don't have God's value system. Don't make that mistake. Just because you have God's value system doesn't mean you're going to be happy all the time. Oh, I have God's value system. I'm just happy, happy, happy. Never have a sad moment. That's not true. Jesus had sad times. And he had God's value system better than you do, right? The book of Isaiah calls him what? A man of sorrows acquainted with grief. However, and this is very important to understand here, because if God, having God's value system doesn't necessarily remove sadness from your life, this is the dangerous part. We don't like sadness. We like happiness. And it's written down for America, right? The pursuit of happiness. That's what we pursue. Amazingly enough, we pursue happiness. The problems that we get into is we sometimes will want to avoid sadness and avoids God's value system, even a place that might produce sadness in us. So we will reject God's value system and replace it with our own if we think it will produce happiness and to avoid the sadness. You see, the emotion is not the important thing. The value system is. The emotion tells you what your value system is by way of your desires. Sacrificial love can lead to feelings of sadness because there can be loss to us when we have sacrificial love for others. So on the one hand, we need to realize that sadness is not always a sign of having the wrong value system, and it's not always to be avoided. However, that said, we must also be careful never to allow that sadness to overwhelm us. Jesus' sadness in going to the cross was balanced out by the hope and the joy that was before him in the results of it. So when we have sacrificial love for the benefit of others and we're sad in that moment, we have faith that looks beyond that to the benefit, to the result, the happiness that comes afterward. Jesus acted in spite of sorrow for the good end that he suffered for. So also we, when we endure sorrow in sacrificial love, must keep your eyes focused firmly on the good that it produces and not the cost to ourselves as we go through it. On the other hand, we need to be aware that sadness often comes because we're seeking happiness in things that ultimately are not in God's value system. That tends to be the bigger problem for us. My value system is not what it's supposed to be. I'm desiring happiness in the wrong things. I don't get those wrong things. I feel sad. See, that's the typical chain we experience. We seek happiness in our bodily appetites, in people, and in things. Those are the three areas of temptation. Bodily appetites, in the way people view us and in our own earthly kingdoms, things, power. Now, in itself, that's not wrong. There's nothing wrong in having happiness in those three areas. God created all those areas of our lives. He intends those things to be meaningful and to bring us happiness. Every good and perfect gift comes from God, James tells us. But when we seek these things as better than being good. Remember, that's the point of Jesus' temptation. It's better to be good than to have a full tummy. It's better to be good than to have people like you. It's better to be good than to be powerful, to have your own kingdom. We want happiness sometimes more than we want to be good. I mean, think about it. If I can say, I will give you this choice today, standing before you, you can be good or you can be happy for the rest of your life, many of you would be very tempted to take the happy part. And the reason I know that is that's how we live our lives, over and over and over again. Sometimes we go for the good, sometimes we go for the happy. We say, can we have them both? No, you can't. No, you can't. When we seek these things as better than being good, better than being like Christ, we place ourselves into a dangerous situation. Life will disappoint us. So we need to have the source of our happiness being right. There will be happy and sad times in life, whether you're good or not. You may as well be good so that the happy things flow out of God's value system and the sad things flow out of His value system. Let your emotions tell you what the value system is. What are the things that you're desiring? So that's sadness. Let's look at happiness. As I've kind of already hinted at, I think happiness is one of the prime motivators of all people. This is what motivates people, happiness. We are motivated by the pursuit of happiness. We want to be happy. We do the things that we think, at least in the moment, will make us happy. And not only that, we want those around us to be happy. We want people that we love to be happy. There's other words related to happy. I'm not going to cover all these things as I go through the series. Amusement, that's being like happy at something that strikes us as funny. And if it's not a good thing and it strikes you as funny, what does that tell you about your value system, right? We can be happy. Another form of that is contentment. We're just content. We're peaceful. We're at peace. Satisfaction kind of goes along with the same lines as that. A step up from happiness, elation. I mean, now you're really getting happy. And beyond that, ecstasy, right? I'm so happy my head's going to explode. So these are but they're all really coming out of the same concept. Happiness. Where does happiness come from? Why do we experience happiness? Out of the three areas that Jesus experienced temptation in, right? You have happiness from your bodily appetites, from your relationships with other people and what they think of you, and in the third area, when you get your own way, whatever part that fits. You can be happy when your bodily appetites are filled, right? Think about that. When you're hungry, you start to get some of you. Start to get a little crabby, most of you. Start to get a little crabby, or you get some food in you and you suddenly feel kind of happy again, right? You know, we feel good when our bodily appetites are fulfilled. Unfortunately, now this is very important to understand, unfortunately, when we seek happiness out of our bodily appetites, it usually results in addictions. I mean, that's where addictions come from, right there. There you go. All addictions explained in one nutshell. You're seeking happiness through a bodily appetite. Even as the French say, amour, love, right? Flows out of that because it produces within you chemicals, right? Your body's producing chemicals, that in love feeling. And so people get addicted to that. The second one, you can be happy if people like you. You know, who likes to be admired by other people? I mean, let's go beyond that. Would you like to be adored? Right? To be adored by everyone? This is the relationship stuff. If you could throw yourself off a tall building and land safely at the bottom, how many of you would do that? In some way, shape, or form. All right? A lot of people in the world would do that. They want that fame. They want people to follow them. They think they have something to say that's important. That flows out of it. So again, the temptations, the happiness that comes from what people think of you. Happiness. And think of how many things. This is what a lot of things that happen in peer groups, in school and stuff, are all flowing around this particular concept. Again, everyone is doing what everyone else is doing, thinking that everybody will be happy with me if I do these particular things. The class clown is the class clown because he thinks it gets him attention from other people, and therefore he's like, you know, and everybody has those particular things. The athletes go out and try to perform better because prestige that comes from it. Or if you're the academic type, getting the highest grades because of the prestige that goes with the pride and envy part, but it also goes along with you're happy in it, right? It's especially in terms of how people think of you. Think about how many things you do in life that are governed by how people think of you. The third one drives a lot of us too. You can be happy if you have all the stuff you want. That's having your own kingdom. All the stuff that you want. In other words, you're getting your desires, you're getting your wants in things. Having your own kingdom. That's why shopping makes us happy for a while. It doesn't keep us happy. We have to keep shopping and shopping and shopping. But that's the element that's behind that. You're trying to be happy in things, in your own kingdom, in being powerful, in doing things. Some people, you know, when you look at this, man, don't you have enough power? Don't you have enough wealth? You know, they just can't quit because they're seeking happiness in it. A good indicator of your value system is when you're happy. When you're happy, your value system is being fulfilled. Your desires are being fulfilled. You want to know what your value system is? Take a good look at yourself when you're happy. Like I said last week with pride, we're often too busy being happy to think about our value system in that moment. Really don't care what my value system is right now. I'm happy and that's all that counts, right? That's how we deal with life. But it's better to be good than to feel happy. Feel good.
I like to make things. And there is great satisfaction and pleasure in making something that is good. How does that fit into that?
Well, there's nothing wrong with that, but if you're making things, happens at the expense of doing the other good things that you should be doing. You know, it's like the inventor that lives in his basement, right? And he comes up at 2 a.m. and eats something, crawls in bed. He's back up at 4 and back in his basement. And everything else in his life is suffering from that. Then his life is out of balance because of that. But no, there's nothing wrong. Making things is part of the image of God within us. We should have happiness in our work and things. That's balance in our lives. But it's the seeking happiness only in those areas and not in the things that really count. So let's be careful here. Now remember, the emotion does not teach us anything about our values being right or wrong. The emotion does not tell you if your value system is right or wrong, whether it's sadness or happiness. We can be happy about the wrong things and sad about good things. We can. Remember, Jesus is sad about things that come out of God's value system. The emotion only tells us whether or not we are getting what we want. Our desires that flow out of our value systems. When you get what you want, you're happy. When you don't get what you want, you're sad. Simple. It's so simple. So don't judge your feeling and use it to determine right or wrong. Many people do. This thing made me happy, therefore it's right for me. Feeling good doesn't make something right. Feeling bad doesn't make something wrong. The emotions are positive and negative, but that doesn't determine whether what you value is positive or negative in the eyes of God. Your value system is composed of what you think is right or wrong. Okay, and that's the next thing. Your value system isn't necessarily lined up with God's value system, even if you want it to be. This is very important to understand. Your value system is composed of what you believe or what you think is right and wrong. What you believe or what you've been taught is good or evil or what God wants you to do. All these elements go into your heart, producing your value system. Remember, what you believe and what you've been taught may not be an accurate representation of God's value system. And many times that's a problem for us. Thus, your value system can be telling you to be happy or sad about something you're experiencing, emotions, you know, you're having all this emotions, happiness or sadness, flowing out of your value system. But your value system, even if you think it's God's value system, might not be. And you're experiencing emotions that are very different from what God would have you experience, even though you think you're pleasing Him. So imagine the person that thinks God is happy with me if I whip my body and make it bleed, right? They might have that wrong idea what God wants, and yet they would do it anyway, thinking that that's what God wants them to do. Yeah, but I mean, there's, yes. Yeah, sure. So from that, let's consider this thing. In the Bible, we read, blessed is the man, in some of your translations, the newer, the more modern translations, the simpler translations, they'll say things like, happy is the man, right? Happy is the person. It's translated that. So in Psalm 1, it says, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law he meditates day and night. Well, they would translate that, happy is the man. And they're making a connection there that happiness flows out of being blessed by God by doing these particular things. And to a degree that's true. It's getting off the mark a little bit from what is really being said there. The blessing of God does bring happiness, but it's not exactly the same thing. So be careful when you read that in a translation. But why does God's blessing often produce happiness in it? Well, it's because we know Him and we do His value system and we're becoming like Him. I mean, if He created us, then us living in the manner and way in which we were created to be will produce within us happiness. So let's look again at the three areas in which you look for happiness. What are the three areas you look for happiness in?
Bodily
appetites.
Relationships,
I'm just going to do it, because how we view other people viewing us. And the third area is?
Power
control things, your own kingdom. Okay, these are the areas we seek happiness in. But the most important one of those three is? The relationships. Because? Because you were created for relationship. All theology is relational, that's true, but you were created for relationship, right? You were created for relationship. Happiness, the really fulfilling happiness you should have in life should come in which of those three areas more than anything else? In the area of relationship. That's where it should be coming from. When we have God's value system, which is?
Sacrificial
love for the benefit of others. Is that going to influence your relationships? Oh, absolutely. Should it help your relationships? Should they become better relationships? Yes. Think about this. In terms of the areas of happiness and sadness in our lives, which area usually produces the most happiness and sadness for most people? Relationships. Relationships. More than the other two areas. And when we have God's value system, which is primarily relational, our relationships will bring us more happiness than if we practice our own value systems. Of course, I'm assuming both people in the relationship are practicing sacrificial love for each other, practicing God's value system, and then the relationship will be better and bring happiness. Unfortunately, relationships are also the most damaged part of us since the fall. And we see this immediately in the case of Adam and Eve. The very first thing they start doing right after they sin is fighting with each other and fighting with God. And blaming each other for all the problems in their lives. That's because when we choose our own values over God's, we tend to do things that are relationally destructive. Wrong value system leads to the wrong desires, which produces destroyed relationships. That's what James tells us in James chapter 1. Why are you guys having fights? Because it comes out of your desires, which flow from your value system. But it's no secret. I mean, when they chose their own value system in the garden, what was the thing God says? In the day you eat of the tree, you will surely die. And we know that death is separation in relationship. That's what death is about. Death is about relational failure. Eternal death is eternal relational failure, right? But that's what death is about. In the day they ate the fruit, Adam and Eve's relationship died in part. Their relationship with God died in part. Began dying at that moment. It wasn't just a physical death. Primarily, it was a relationship death. And in our relationships, whenever we live selfishly, whenever we decide to take from the tree and choose our own good and evil, our relationships die. Our relationships suffer. It's either me or the other person in the relationship doing this, and I discover that I find more sadness than happiness in relationship, and suddenly I say, I'm going to look for happiness in bodily appetites or things. Because it's not worth it in the relationship. Because relationships can produce the most happiness in us, but they can also produce the most sadness in us. And this is the whole issue, why we get hurt in relationship, when I talked about that in the introductory sessions. Why when we start closing off the doors, because we're sad in relationship. And we start looking for happiness somewhere else. People who are created for relationships can only find the happiness in it that they were created for when both people practice the same value system. Remember, conflict in relationship comes from a conflict in value system. You must be having two people having sacrificial love for the other for the relationship to produce happiness. Once one or both people begin seeking happiness in the forbidden, in some area of life, the tree issues, in defiance of God's value system, the relationship suffers. And sadness comes in. Boy, we covered a lot of different ground there this morning. I hope you followed it all. The question is, where are you seeking happiness? Is your life characterized by sadness? Are you seeking your happiness in appetites and things more than in relationship? If so, this indicates an area of relationship that needs repairing. Is your happiness in becoming like Christ and adopting His value system? Is it in serving others to see them also transformed? And now we begin to see how unlike Him we are when we look at that particular question. Let me read it again. Is your happiness in becoming like Christ and adopting His value system? Is it in serving others so that they also would be transformed? We might think we have His value system, but if practicing His value system doesn't produce happiness according to His value system, perhaps we haven't adopted it after all. You were created for a relationship. God wants you to enjoy good, happy relationships. Happiness and sadness are huge indicators in our lives, revealing how we feel about the relationships we are in, and can be used for discovering the parts of our relationships that need to be transformed. Happiness and sadness most tell us about the quality of the relationships in our lives. And of course, the quality of your relationships depend upon the quality of you practicing God's value system. Let's pray. Lord, help us work on our relationship with You first of all, which is adopting Your value system and being like You. And let that flow out into our relationships with one another, that we will be happy in them, find our joy in being like You and in loving one another into Your kingdom. Lord, please help us to seek our happiness in the things that are meaningful and beneficial to us. Help us gain wisdom in seeing the areas of life where we are seeking things that don't please You and are not like You, so that we might change and be transformed out of those ways. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.